to be thankful for. A lot. So let's go to the Lord and give thanks. Lord, we do enter into your courts, into your gates with thanksgiving and praise today. We have a lot to be thankful for. And mostly, we're thankful, Lord, for you and for the relationship that we have with you. We're thankful for our church family. We pray, God, that you would come close to us today and meet every need that's in this place according to your power and your riches and glory. We'll be sure to give you the praise and honor for that. But, Lord, more important than us asking and seeking something from you, we just want to love you today and experience your presence and your love for us. Let us worship you, Lord, as we worship you together. May our songs just convey the attitude of our heart today. And may our ears and hearts and mind be sensitive to the word of God today as it's proclaimed to us, that we'll take hold of the truth, Lord, that we will live it out in our daily life. Lord, help us to be real before you today. And Lord, we just want to spend this time in your presence. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you.
In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
Praise the Lord.
come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah.
Welcome, First Baptist Church. Glad you're worshiping with us this morning on this beautiful, gorgeous November day. All of you that are guests of ours today, we are so thankful the Lord's led you to worship with us today here at First Baptist Church. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. So glad you're here today.
Be seated as we sing today. It's all about Jesus.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. All an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, crumble into dust when it is said and done. There's all that really matters. Did I leave the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. Name to remember. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus.
If you'll come. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us to worship, to be in your house, to worship you, and to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life that is ours in Jesus. And we celebrate that as we sing these songs about our heart and our gratitude toward you for all that you have given to us in Jesus. The blessings of life that you have showered down upon us, Father, we're grateful. Thankful, Father, for the gift of allowing us to give and to be a part of the mission of the gospel in a world that is so desperately in need. Lord, help us to join you. Help us to give so that these gifts, Father, can be used to spread the good news of the gospel so that not only will we know Christ, but others as well. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of giving. In Christ we pray. Amen.
I challenge you this week, when you celebrate Thanksgiving with your family, with your friends, to be thankful for Jesus. Be thankful for the shed blood that took away your sins and my sins and made us stand righteous before the Father. It's only through Him and through the sacrifice that He gave that we can do that. But we stand righteous before God because of Jesus. So go in this week thanking God for that, for the confidence that we have to come before His throne in Jesus' name. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So when you pray, pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has given us the authority to pray in his name, in Jesus' name. This week, you celebrate the fact that Jesus came for you. Everything he did and everything that he's still doing for us, we should be grateful.
Thank you.
be still before the Lord. Lord, in the stillness and the silence of this moment, we thank you for Jesus and for the blood. We thank you for salvation, mercy, grace, and pardon that is through him. We thank you for the peace that comes through a relationship with you and the power that's available to us who walk with you in the power of the resurrection. I ask you to strengthen us now as we come before your throne to hear the word of God proclaimed. I thank you for Joel being your servant, Lord, to come and present the word of God to us. I pray that you'll help him to speak the truth the way that you have guided him as he's prepared this message. And Lord, also that you would prepare our hearts for the room necessary to do your work within us. Let your Holy Spirit teach us and guide us and strengthen us in all this. And may we grow closer to you through this time. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, praise team, leading us as we think about Thanksgiving and think about gratitude and having a gracious heart, the Father, for all that he's given to us, what we do with that, those blessings that God has been so generous to give to us. So we're going to continue to think about that today. Thank you, praise team, for leading us and our hearts preparing for worship. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. It's the parable of the rich fool. Luke 12, 13 through 21. The ability to tell a great story is a gift. And not everybody has that gift. But Jesus is somebody that did have that gift. And man, he could tell a great story. And 2,000 years after these stories were told, these parables and stories that Jesus used to illuminate truth, they continue to impact the world with relevance, with wisdom, with power, with truth in every way possible. So we call these stories of Jesus parables. And parable comes from a Greek word, para, meaning alongside of, and balo, which means literally to throw. So, a parable is a story that is thrown alongside of a truth in order to illuminate that truth. A story in order to shed light on truth and to bring meaning to our lives. And nobody could do that more effectively than Jesus. Take a normal, common, everyday, real life experience. All right, so what was more common in the first century than agriculture? Nothing. So Jesus takes something that everybody knew about. Adults, children, everybody knew about farming. Everybody knew about agriculture. So Jesus would take this just normal, everyday life experience, something that everybody knew something about, and then he would throw it alongside this spiritual truth in order to take something that you know about, farming, agriculture, and then shed light on that in order to produce this incredible spiritual truth. And so that's exactly what Jesus did in this parable. And we're considering one of those great stories, parables, today in Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21. The last time that I preached on this parable was November of 2018. So in October and November of 2018, we were doing a stewardship emphasis. And it was a 7-part stewardship emphasis from Randy Alcorn. Now, a lot of churches do a stewardship emphasis every November or every October. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine. We don't do that here at First Baptist Church. We don't set a time every single year where we're just going to do stewardship. When we feel the Lord leading, we have a stewardship emphasis, and we don't do it every single year. But that year, we were doing this stewardship emphasis, and it lasted almost all of October and the whole month of November, pushing into the Advent season. And it was based on these seven principles from Randy Alcorn. And so we took a principle every single Sunday about stewardship, not just about money, but about stewardship in general. Everything, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, all of the issues when it comes to giving our hearts, our lives, our minds, body, soul, everything to the Father, that's what stewardship really is all about. And so we took those seven Sundays and talked about stewardship. The question that we asked from that stewardship series was real simple. How do we live today in a material world with eternal values? That's a simple question, isn't it? And have you ever found anything harder in life? No. How do I live in a material world? That's exactly what material world. How do I live today in a material world with material things, material stuff? I cannot live without these material things. So how do I live in a material world with eternal values? How do I live in this material world without making those things my value, but valuing things that will last for all eternity that has nothing to do with material possessions? How do I live today in a material world with eternal values? The statement that Randy Alcorn made that I read over and over and over again, so much so that I was hoping by the time that I got to the end of that 7-week series, that as I started to read it one more time, that I was hoping so badly that people were sitting out in the congregation saying, "Oh, dear Lord, he's going to read it one more time." Yes, that was the point. All your life, you've been on a treasure hunt. You've been searching for the perfect person and the perfect place. Let me read that again. All your life, you've been on a treasure hunt. You've been searching for the perfect person, and you've been searching for the perfect place. Jesus is that perfect person, and heaven is that place. So if you're a Christian, you've already met the person, and you're already headed to that place, but there's a problem. You're not yet living with that person, and you are not yet living in that place. So the question, how do we then live in this world, this material world, with eternal values? And so on one of those Sundays, Jesus gave us some help here with this parable of the rich fool. So Jesus is going to shed some light on that for us today. We're going to look at this very common real life experience, and then Jesus is going to throw it alongside this spiritual truth, and hopefully the spiritual truth is going to be the thing that sticks in our hearts and our minds. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware. But now, I'm not going to tell you and your brother, I'm not going to even talk about the estate. Who am I to say who gets what? But let me tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to tell you a story. Be on your guard against every kind of greed, because life is not measured in how much you own." And so he told this story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "Well, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my old barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and all my other goods, all my other crops. And when I get done with all of that, then I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say to myself, "My friend, you have stored enough money away for years to come. So sit back, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you're a fool. You're going to die this very night. Then who will get all of this that you have worked so hard for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. So the story is about a very successful farmer. He planted his crops, he worked the crops, he harvested the crops. So plentiful was the harvest that he had to tear down his old barns to build bigger barns in order to store all of these crops. The story, however, teaches us that the farmer began to love his material possessions, the crops and all that the stuff that the crops gave. He began to love all those material possessions so much so that he made those things the foundation for his life. He neither had the time, he neither had the inclination to build his relationship with God. The cotton patch gospel of the cotton patch version of the Gospel of Luke gets to this story. And at the end of the story, in the cotton patch version of the gospel, the farmer says to himself, rise and shine, dine fine, and recline. That is to say, the farmer had made it. He had done everything that he wanted to do and finally had made it to that point where I've got everything that I want. But then he died. And he came face to face with God, whom he had ignored his entire life. And suddenly he became aware of the spiritual poverty of his life because God called him a fool. So Jesus' story here, this parable about a real life experience, about farming, agriculture, something that has to be done, something that needed to be done in the first century. So Jesus took this real life story and then he taught us about life. And he taught us about what we do with our own lives. And he taught us about where we then can find meaning in life. And so the story reminds us that life is like a road. And on this road, we come to a lot of what we would call in this day and age cul-de-sacs, where the road just kind of stops. One of those cul-de-sacs is money. Now, Richard Foster we had a series from Richard Foster several years ago called The Spiritual Disciplines. And in that spiritual discipline series, Richard Foster talked about money. Money is not something that is morally neutral. A resource to be used good or bad, in good or bad ways, depending solely upon our attitude toward it. No. Mammon is a power that seeks to dominate us. Money is such a powerful force that we must be careful how we handle it, because just when we think we have money, we wake up and discover that money has us. And that's exactly what happened to the farmer. And let me tell you something, that's exactly what happens to many people sitting in this sanctuary right now this morning. There's no way around it. We can act like it's all the Methodists or the Presbyterians or the Church of Christ, and it's not really us as Baptists, but no, we're just as guilty as everybody else. One day we wake up and we realize that it's not that we have money, but that money does what? Has and owns us. Another cul-de-sac that we run into is called self. And what I would call self-absorption. And boy, are we in a culture of self-absorption. Take care of you first. Sometimes we think that the best way to fulfillment in life is to turn the focus inward. We live in a culture that tells us that we have to take care of ourself first. So our culture basically tells us this, that if you want to be a good worker, if you want to be a good owner of a business, if you want to be a good mom, if you want to be a good dad, if you want to be a good grandparent, if you want to be a good fill in the blank, whatever that is that you want to fill in the blank with. So if you want to be good at that, and so then of course the answer in our head is, yes, I do want to be good at that, whatever that is. I do want to be a good mom. I do want to be a good wife. I do want to be a good husband, a good father, a good employee, a good owner of a business. I do want to be a good community person. I do want to be a good Christian. I do want to be good. So fill in the blank with whatever that is. And then our culture then comes along and says, and you've got to make sure that you take care of you first, because if you take care of yourself first, then you have enough to take care of others. And many of you sitting in the sanctuary, by that drivel and gobbledygook, you drink it up like it's Diet Coke. It sounds really good, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound right? Come on. Sounds right. In order to be a good, fill in the blank, I got to take care of this first. Well, let me tell you something. I take care of this just fine. I don't need any help from myself. I'm good enough on my own. If I'm going to be good, whatever, then I take care of me first. And then once I take care of me first, then I can have enough to spread out to do that. And many buy it hook, line, and sinker. That is a lie straight from the devil. And you better hear that. E. Stanley Jones, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, said, to be a self-centered person tastes sweet to the mouth. It makes us feel good that we have had our way, that our ego has triumphed. But when we try to digest self-centeredness, the stomach turns sour. Yes, it does. And I say that with almost everything, but oftentimes I come to an end of a point and I try to make it as simple as possible by saying something like this: either the Bible is right or Oprah is right. But they're not both right. Something's wrong and somebody's wrong. Either God, our Creator, through His Word, is right, and self-absorption will lead you to be the farmer, taking care of self first, and then one day you'll die and you'll meet God the Father. Either He's right or Oprah is right, but they're not both right. A third cul-de-sac that we run into oftentimes is called freedom. Yeah, freedom. That's what I want in life. Isn't that the American dream, to have freedom from all of the responsibilities? You know, win the lottery. That's the American dream. Yeah, win the lottery. Or build barns big enough to store all of the material stuff that I want and get it to a certain point to where I can quit my job. I no longer have to have the responsibility of a job. Or the responsibility of the world and the family, and just have the freedom to do whatever I want to do, go wherever I want to go, do whatever I want to do, travel the world, whatever, and just have freedom. All of my restraints have been removed. All of my responsibilities have been removed, and I just want to have freedom. The problem with that is that our actions have consequences. And we as Americans don't like to face our own consequences. Boy, do we not. Brian Harbor once said, the folly of the rich farmer is not simply that he neglected the most important things in life, nor simply that he thought only of himself. The real folly of the rich farmer is that he thought this experience of living filled with wine, women, and song was all that there was. That he would never have to face the consequences of his choices. That often happens to us today. On our way through life, we turn onto the well-paved street called Freedom Freeway. However, instead of being the road to fulfillment, it turns out to be a dead-end street. That is why God said to the farmer, and will say to each of us, you fool, you will die this very night. And then who will get everything that you worked for? So what is the way to fulfillment? It's not in the accumulation of material things like money and possessions. It's not in the absorption of yourself. It's not in the freedom from all restraints and responsibilities. The fulfillment that Jesus is talking about here comes in building our relationship with God the Father, and that is done through Jesus and Jesus alone. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me, and that is Jesus. And the only way to find fulfillment in life as we enter into this thing called the holiday season, where we celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and then move into the new year, the only way that you are going to find fulfillment is through the gospel, through Jesus, and the good news that comes through Him and only through Him. Father, thank You for a great, powerful word with a simple story about a farmer who got it all wrong. Now, he would be praised as far as our culture is concerned. He's the man. But Jesus tells the story in order to make us realize that He forgot one very important, valuable lesson. That He was rich as far as the material world was concerned, but He was poor in His relationship with God, because that was something that He was going to put off till later in life. But then all of a sudden He found Himself face to face with God the Father. And the Father said to Him, "You're a fool. You got it all wrong. You put your ladder on the wrong wall. You climbed the wrong wall." Simple truth, a simple story, and so unbelievably powerful, because there's not one person in this sanctuary today, Father, that's not faced with these issues. How do we live in a material world that's constantly pushing money, self, freedom, all of these things? How do we live in that world but have eternal values? Man, that's a powerful word. To have everything we want but be poor in our relationship with God is to have nothing. To have nothing in this world and to be rich and wealthy in our relationship with God because of the gospel, the good news through Jesus Christ, is to have everything. Thank You, Jesus, for a powerful truth for us. As we think about life, what's important, what's not important, may we be rich toward You. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation is going to be gratitude. If you've never trusted Christ and you never have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, then that is our encouragement to you on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. Put your trust and your faith in Jesus. If you need to come pray, join our church, do that as we stand, as we sing.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs, as I often do, but every song must end, and You never do. So I throw up my hands and praise You again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah.
I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands to praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Please be seated. Real quickly, as we look at our announcements for the coming week, all right, so mature adults, Christmas brunch starting, it's going to be Saturday, December 16th, so already a sign-up sheet on the old Lord's Supper table, and it is already full, and we'll get more full as the weeks go by, so sign up, mature adults, for that, all right. Baby dedication, so several of you started talking to Micah and myself about baby dedication, and so Micah started working on that. So on Sunday morning, December the 17th, during this worship service, we're going to have baby dedication. So if you're not one of those couples that we've already talked to, and you're thinking, yeah, we need to get in on that too, see Micah, and then he will make sure that everything is in the right place and all the details are made, but we're going to have it on that Sunday, December the 17th, all right? Ken.
So we've got a full December of music and worship on the 3rd, the first Sunday night at 6 o'clock, Christmas picking with the Gunnersville FBC Pickers. So come that night and celebrate with us. And we've got some new material that we'll be singing for the Christmas season, as well as some of the old favorites, and even the chicken song will get worked in as well. Let's move on. Multi-generational choir. We've been working real hard since really the end of August. In September, early September, getting ready for Sunday night, December the 10th. Multi-generational choir, the children are working hard and getting ready, and the youth choir and our adult singers as well. So that's going to be at 6 o'clock on that night. Be sure to be here. You don't want to miss that. The Lord's Supper and the candlelight service, Carols by Candlelight, December the 17th at 6 o'clock. It's a powerful evening of worship and celebration. And then also want to give you a little heads up about the one services that we'll be having the end of December on the Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, one service at 10 a.m.
Correct. Operation Christmas Child is today. If you got your box, today is the last day to turn those in. If you don't have it, but you still want to do it, then just see Micah. I don't know when Micah's going to leave tomorrow to take the boxes. So work that out with Micah, and you might can get here in the morning before he takes off to do that. So, but today's officially our last day to turn in all of our Operation Christmas Child boxes. Lastly, every year Karen puts together a schedule of events that starts this Wednesday, and it goes through Wednesday, January the 10th, when everything starts back for the winter and spring. So, grab one of these, put it on your fridge, put it in your Bible, put it on your bulletin board, keep it near you, and this will give you just about, it's not everything, but it's very close to just about everything that's going to go on during Thanksgiving through the new year, and then you'll have all of that right there in front of you. For example, this week, nothing on Wednesday night, everything's canceled, and then the office will be closed Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So keep all that in mind, but this will kind of give you an idea of what we're doing, what we're not doing during the Thanksgiving, Christmas season. All right, let's, Warren, you got anything?
Yes, we'll be off this Wednesday, but when we come back, we will be starting our outflow. Junior high guys will be the first ones to go out, then junior high girls following the senior high guys, then senior high girls will go out right before Christmas. So we're encouraging our students to bring a few dollars, whatever they can bring each week as we go out, and then we will pull that up, and it's just a time of year as we celebrate the Advent season. We celebrate by going out and giving someone a gift of money, but as we give them that money, we let them know that this is a gift that will be spent and will be gone. The real gift that we are giving them is the gift of Jesus Christ, the love that we reach out to them through. And so we just want to share that, you know, this is a season that we celebrate God giving us a gift that we didn't earn and we can never repay. And the gift that we extend to them is the love of Jesus Christ. And this is a season that we celebrate that. And we want them to know that the gift of Jesus will never be spent. It'll never be exhausted. It is for eternity. So it's a powerful week. I'm excited to go out each week. It's every week we go out. It's powerful. It's an awesome time of year that we celebrate that. So I hope, you know, y'all will be a part of that. And junior high guys first, junior high girls will be next, and then the 4 weeks up to Christmas. We got a lot signed up for Strength to Stand. If you would like to join us, adults that would like to be a part, go with us to Strength to Stand in January, the 12th through the 15th in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. We have a lot signing up. We have a very big group, so we could use some adult help. Anybody that would like to go with us?
Yes, you do have a lot signed up. I think they've got 5 going this year. About 125 going this year. All right, so let's all stand and close by singing the doxology.
Praise. Is that a Jeep? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. God bless you.